We'll start off with MTG. That's been the big break story of the weekend.
Well, hey, friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a terrific weekend. We enjoyed ourselves down here in the Sunshine State, staying free and healthy as usual. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing absolutely great, Austin. It's been a fantastic weekend, and I'm just ready to do a show. We got a lot of stories to cover this morning. We're talking about what's really going on with the White House and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
We're covering some health stories. We got a lot of stuff to talk to you guys about. I'm actually going to go somewhere where I haven't gone really before, the Protocols of Zion. We're going to talk about that for a minute.
It's Monday. Oh, go easy on everybody.
We got to cover some stuff because a lot of stuff's getting really out of control right now, and a lot of people are talking. Oh, by the way, Candace Owens, I'm not promoting her, but I do like her. She's getting 3 million downloads a day.
She's getting a lot of coverage on it.
She's so, like, bigger than Joe Rogan now.
Well, I'm going to cover some other stuff today, too, some wild stuff. We're also going to talk about how social media has been linked to lower memory and reading scores now in children. They're showing that the scores are starting to go through the floor now, the more social media that kids use. Going to go on a new topic on beet juice powder. Also cover some stuff on the collagen peptides and magnesium.
You know why those scores are dropping like that? Because they're not reading anything. They're just watching pictures flash by.
Yeah, and you'll see. I'm going to go over the article. Because what happens is the brain is not engaged anymore in most stuff. It's all it's doing is ingesting visual images and videos, and it's not actually having to expand vocabulary, expand reading skills, expand comprehension. But I'll talk about that later on. The collagen peptides, be sure. I got 2 more days on sale on that. If you guys want to grab that, vote for what you want to see win. Product of the week. You have all of our, what do we have? NAC, vitamin C caps, cortisol, Testo Plus, and Ultimate Multiple Caps. The results are... multiple caps.
It always wins.
I don't even know why I was questioning that one on there. So be sure to vote if you want to see that one win. It's already winning like a
landslide.
Bottle rocket going to the moon that we allegedly went to. And
you know, we have a lot of people love those multiple powder and multiple caps.
Multiple powder and caps. Yeah. It's a popular product. I mean, it works great because it's the multiple powder, the caps, the chewable, any of them, they're all great. I always tell people as a base, no matter what you're trying to take, no matter what you're trying to accomplish, that needs to be your base core. That's the base.
You start right there. This morning I started with a multiple powder, another purple stick, and just 2 scoops of Fit Foods protein.
Same thing. When you throw the multiple powder with the Fit Food and the purple stick, it gives you that. I can honestly say it's probably one of the most perfect shake blends for a morning. It doesn't bloat you out. It doesn't make you excessively full. It doesn't make you, you're trying to get too jittery. Purple sticks with a scoop of that, with the multiple in it. It's a done deal. And be sure to make sure you're signing up for the updates. Again, a lot of people ask me how you get, the updates on the specials, the 3-packs, the coupons. Sign up for the Brower Show and the Health Masters reports, and we'll get that to you every single day right to your email. And be sure to check out all the different podcasts that we update on a daily basis with detailed descriptions on what's in them. You can look on Rumble, Spotify, Gab, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. We're all over the place on there. Be sure to give us reviews. If you like the show, give us reviews on it. The same thing on the website. I've asked you guys on the bestsellers. Keep putting some reviews on here. Whichever one gets the highest amount of reviews over the next couple weeks, I'll put that one on sale. That gives people a lot more ability to actually see the product and how they're working for other people.
So what you're saying is if you vote for the product and you give us a good review on the product, we'll put that on the list to go have the sale product.
Yeah, pretty much. I want to see what I can get over 10 reviews on here. So what really hits first over 10 reviews, and I see the purple stick powder in a cans. It's already got 6. Everybody's starting to run away with that one.
We're almost out of it.
So if that happens, I'm going to be like, well... Touche.
I tell you what's nice about it is you don't have packages laying all over the countertop.
Yeah, I mean we have them everywhere. They're great for like trucks. See, I like them like on a trip. Like I was in Orlando this weekend with a big car event and charity. It's nice because I can throw 2 or 3 of those in my backpack, and that's it. You don't have to bring a bunch of cans with you. Mm-hmm. So traveling, it's really convenient. Flying, you don't have any extra space. But if it's just on the counter and you're getting ready to go to work out or something, it works best like
what that. What I do is when I fly somewhere, I just take a pack of them and I dump them inside my suitcase.
You don't open those packets.
You open this.
I open this.
Yeah.
Okay. And I dump it in my suitcase.
You said you open a packet and dump them in your suitcase. No, so you don't. Then, you don't have.
That makes a mess.
I know.
And I've had things open in my suitcase.
Oh, everybody has. There's something break out on there, and that's a whole other mess. And one thing that I did want to cover, we talked about this a second ago now. This is kind of some strange news in the White House. The reason why I'm going to cover it is because I find it to kind of be strange and also really kind of immature. This whole thing with Marjorie Taylor Greene now has come out and it's pretty much been questioned.
Well, she doesn't get any money from AIPAC, bud.
Neither does Massey.
Nope.
Neither one of them. They've been very open about that. AIPAC gets no money. And Trump does this whole tirade on Twitter, on X, how he's withdrawing support from MTG.
And then he calls her names like a child.
Yeah. And then basically insults her on there. And the thing about it is, she hasn't said anything disrespectful to him, quite frankly. All she's done is been questioning what's going on with this Epstein hoax.
She's been calling him, and he's not been taking her phone calls. And so she was a little upset about that.
But yeah, so I don't know what's going on with all this in detail, but one thing I do know is that essentially Trump had this giant tirade that he sat there and pretty much insulted her because she's questioning what's going on.
Well, Cynthia McKinney said that when, in fact, she was talking, her and Robert Evans Steele did a seminar. They actually were going around the country touring, and she said, quote, I'm loosely quoting her, that everybody who starts in the Congress has to sign a pledge to AIPAC to support Israel.
I mean, yeah.
And if they don't, get support from AIPAC. And it's basically
some of these guys, like Ted Cruz, he's received millions of dollars from AIPAC.
Here's what the Daily Mail said. Heartbroken MTG savages Trump and leaks brutal Epstein text that sparked the president's breakup announcement. Marjorie Taylor Greene has spectacularly torched her relationship with Donald Trump just hours after the president announced he was cutting her loose amid her persistent criticism of his policies, primarily Israel. The fallout came as Trump hit a Green in lengthy Truth social media on Friday, withdrawing his support of the Georgia representative while saying she was gone far left, which is a lie, and had become a ranting lunatic, which is a lie.
That's not accurate.
It's not accurate at all. She wants to know what happened with Epstein. Green fired back by sharing screenshots of texts she sent to Trump about the importance of the Epstein files, as well as another person named N.H. and apparent reference to the president's assistant, Natalie Harp. The text message she sent Trump advised him to lean into former President Bill Clinton's own connections to the billionaire pedophile. Earlier Friday, Trump ordered an investigation into the Clinton's ties into Epstein. Whatever. Give me a break. This is not going to happen. Check the flight logs of Epstein's plane. Bill Clinton is there like 26 times. We all already know this. This is old information. Hillary is on there also because Hillary's a darn pervert. Many of us releasing Epstein files have always been for the women who were victims of Jeffrey Epstein, but also because we believe Democratic bad guys like the Clintons were entangled and involved with him, Green said in a text, which is true. Epstein was a spider that wove the web of the deep state. Lean into it, she advised. In the second screenshot, Green responds to him, a text from NH that appears to be fuming after her Trump's criticism, stating Jeffrey Epstein hoax. This is what a bully always does. They basically take the truth and they start ridiculing the truth. This is pure, total deception and
deflection. This is classic narcissistic deflection.
No, this
he's going in and saying, look at what I did. Look at how great I am. Look at all the things that I've done now. And look how stupid Marjorie Taylor Greene is because she's questioning anything that I do or say right now.
Greene replies, in every single interview I've done, I have defended President Trump. And I've said over and over, the women say he did nothing wrong. And their attorneys say he's the only one who helped. And the Democrats had 4 years to release the files but did nothing. So, there's this big brouhaha going on now with MAGA.
Well, here's the issue that
I think. Instead of make Israel great again, they want to make, realizing we can't make America great unless we allow the AIPAC groups to make Israel great.
I personally think, in my opinion, I think what happened was that interview she did with Megyn Kelly, and she came out and said, we have the documentation that shows Epstein worked directly with Israeli contracts and worked with Mossad.
He was Mossad.
Worked as a honeypot. Who said this? And we have the evidence now on this. And then Megyn Kelly goes, well, if you say something like that, you're labeled anti-Semitic. And she goes, well, yeah, that's the thing. They do now.
We played
the video, if you guys watched it last week. And I said, I think that's one of the reasons why they're telling Trump that he has to cut ties with her now.
Okay, here's the problem. They could say I'm anti-Semitic. Okay? They can say Austin is. They can say that you are, by the way, if they want to say that. Here's the problem. They got no teeth with that. Unless they decide to assassinate you. Oh, I mean, let's not talk about Charlie Kirk this morning, though. But reality is, if they've got you on Epstein video.
There you go.
And you start doing anti-Semitic stuff, they're like, I think you need to stop that or we're going to release some tape on you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I'll stop.
The New York Times is going to suddenly get a video of you doing something.
But when you have Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, and Kanye and Ted Nelson Brewer show, and we're all saying the same thing. I had some friends of mine last year. They contacted me and they said, your show has gone, kind of dark on the anti-Semitism. I said, whoa, stop. I said, why don't we follow the money trail? And I said, if you follow the money trail, it's just like Henry Ford did. You follow the money trail, you start to see who runs the planet.
Well, and then you start figuring out that BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard
are the bloodline families.
Who owns them on that.
But she said this quote, but I don't worship or serve Donald Trump. I worship God. Jesus is my savior, and I serve my district and the American people. I remain the same today as I have been. I will continue to pray this administration will be successful because the American people desperately deserve what they voted for. For me, I remain America first and America only. And what she's saying is, let's forget about Israel and all these other countries, and let's focus on what we're doing here as Americans. And, unbelievable. And
she's right.
Yeah. But Trump goes, I am withdrawing my support and endorsement of Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of the great state of Georgia, he wrote. Trump then listed the accomplishments of his 9 months in office before alleging that all I see wacky Marjorie do is complain. Whoa, wait a minute. She's pointing out things that are happening, and he's trying to figure out why she's not stopping. With 219 congressmen and women, 53 U.S. senators, and 24 cabinet members, almost 200 countries, an otherwise normal life to lead. I can't take a ranting lunatic's call every day, Trump claimed. He then suggested the Greens should face a primary to retain her deep red seat in Georgia in 2026. I understand that wonderful conservative people are thinking about primary in Marjorie and her district. Now, what's going to happen, let me tell you this in advance so you guys can go ahead and have the cliff notes. When she runs in Georgia again, AIPAC's going to back somebody else.
That's exactly right. And they're going to back them.
Which
heavy.
They always do. I mean, we're talking the tunes of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, to get her out of Congress.
They're going to do it also, too, because they're going to make a point of this.
Yeah.
They're going to
punish her. They want to silence her. But you'll see that AIPAC always does that. They always back the people who don't like Israel. I mean, they always back the people who love Israel, and they go against the people that basically don't like Israel. And the sad part about this is, Austin, with Israel, it's funny because the people don't realize Israel is extremely leftist. It's a communist country. People don't get that. And the sad part about it is when you start looking at it and realizing that it's being supported by about $36,000 per person in government subsidies from the United States. Now, think about that for a second. How would you feel, if you were being forced by gunpoint, which you are, by the way, to take your tax dollars and give somebody else $36,000 every year?
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, I don't want to do this. Well, because it's borrowed money from the Rothschild banking cartel and it further indebts our country to the tune of trillions of dollars with all the subsidy stuff that we do. You don't think about it. But that's what it is here. And I don't like having my something, like this happening all of the time. Also, it's frustrating to me.
Now, also, too, this is something that's getting discussed now. And I'm going to tie this in with what's going on with the kids as well. It says magnesium depletion in a new study is being linked to depression. Says that basically people are having more and more issues with depression. We're becoming one of the most depressed countries in the entire world, unfortunately. More and more pharmaceutical drugs are being deployed every single year. It says a large study of more than 13,000 people found a strong connection between magnesium levels and depression. It showed that for every 1-point increase in someone's magnesium depletion score, their risk of depression rose by 13%. The magnesium depletion score is a tool that helps identify people who may have low magnesium by looking at common risk factors such as medications, alcohol use, or kidney problems. Lowering your magnesium depletion score by improving your diet, addressing risk factors, and taking supplements, the meta-analysis published in Nutrition Review involving more than 63,000 people found that those with high magnesium intake had a 34% lower risk of depression compared to those with lower level intake. Magnesium helps regulate important brain chemicals involved in mood, such as glutamate and also GABA. When these levels are low, systems become unbalanced, makes it harder to cope with stress and increased risk of depression. I'll post this on the site days so you can look at this. And I think this is another issue that's tying in with the childhood depressions that are going on now, is a lot of the childhood diets, and I've watched this personally and I've talked to friends and people that have children, is that most kids, A, aren't taking any supplements at all. That's the first one. B, the diets are getting crappier and crappier. The food is getting worse and worse. The quality of everything is getting depleted. And most of the food now has so many preservatives and chemicals and all types of just synthetic additives to it. It's making the problem exacerbated. That's why I'm a very big proponent of making sure if your kids, if they don't like to take vitamins, use the powder supplements we have. The magnesium brain food, the vitamin C powder, the ultimate multiple powder. It makes it so easy. My kids drink a concoction of that every day, all three of them.
Well, the thing about it is the magnesium brain food tastes great.
It tastes great.
You know, and you put a little bit of powder vitamin C in with a powder multiple with it.
And that's what they do. And then they want to drink it like it's juice. And it constantly is feeding their body with what they need because it ties into now the article that I talked about earlier here. Social media is now being linked to lower reading and memory scores in children. The recent study found that higher social media use in early adolescence was associated with lower performance and cognitive functions. They tracked 6,500 children as their screen time climbed during adolescent years. Based on the data from the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study, researchers measured cognitive skills ages 9 to 13 using standardized tests of reading, memory, and vocabulary. The findings revealed that even low levels of increased social media use were directly associated with measurably poor performance. I mean, it wasn't like, there's a slight correlation. It was measurably different. The study was published in JAMA, dividing participants into three groups on media habits, and they looked at who used up around 20 minutes of social media daily, and those who used around 80 minutes a day read fewer words correctly and made more mistakes when tasked to match a word they heard to a corresponding image. They also performed worse on memory tests. Those with high increasing use of social media, roughly 3 hours per day, scored the worst, up to 4 points lower on every single test across the board.
You know, it's funny because when I was young, I used to read comic books all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, listen to me for a second. I've never told you these stories. And I used to go to my mom to the laundromat.
Yeah.
And it was a 7-Eleven right in downtown Auburndale. It's still there. The laundromat's still there.
Yep.
And I would go next door and I would buy, you know, she'd give me a quarter, whatever it was, 10 cents for a comic book back then. And I would buy 4 or 5 comic books. And I would sit there and just read and read and read and read.
And comic books, if they're clean, if they don't put
they're clean.
Yeah. They're actually very good for young kids.
No, this is like Captain America.
Well, you got visual stimuli with the photos that would make you interested. Mm-hmm. And you have the verbiage that you're reading. And so you tie in a lot of the images. And that's what they said on here. A lot of the kids were having a hard time tying a word with an image together.
And I remember I've talked to so many people from Europe.
Yeah.
And they said, how did you learn English? And they said, we watched cartoons and read comic books.
Yeah.
And because you get the visual with the words. And I remember in fifth grade, they tested my reading skills. I remember I was a year ahead. I should have been in fourth grade, but I was in fifth grade. And I was reading at 375 words a minute with 100% comprehension. And I still read really fast. But when I was young, I used to just completely consume reading with comic books and other types of literature like that. You know, Call of the Wild, Jack London, that kind of stuff. And I just read and read and read and read. And I still do that today. I read constantly. And what that does, that keeps your brain frosty. But you can't sit there and just look at pictures all the time. Pictures, 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 with a caption with three words underneath it. I mean, you can't build reasoning skills that way. And with children, when they learn how to only look at pictures, Austin, it's like, what are they going to do?
And that's what it says right here. The brain grows when it's challenged. However, social media, it replaces that challenge with constant visual stimulation. With no learning.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there just watching bubble gum. Oh, look, there's a parrot riding a bicycle. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, look, there's a dog jumping a fence. Ha, 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 ha. It's just bubble gum for the brain, and there's no stimuli or challenge. The mind is just consuming. Basically, it's just trash. Some of the stuff may not be all bad on there, but it's just bubble gum.
Well, they used to always say this with computers, with programming.
Yep.
Garbage in, garbage out. And you have, at that point in time, you don't even learn how to do word association. You don't even learn how to basically put words or string words together.
And that's the biggest thing they said.
And it breaks down. You end up with no fluid reasoning skills.
Yep.
Now, fluid reasoning skills means when I drop a domino on the table and there's 1,000 dominoes, I figure out before I drop the first domino that it's going to roll the whole way through all the dominoes. This is what that means in a real-world application is if I do this, if I get caught with drugs in my car, okay, there's a high probability I'm going to go to jail, so let's not do drugs in my car.
There you go.
If I decide to go to a party and I decide to booze it up, which I don't do ever, and all of a sudden I get stopped for the DUI, all of a sudden now you've got a problem. I've talked to so many people who've had your DUIs, and the insurance is through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something, and you can talk to your attorney about this, but this is some advice I want to give you. If you get stopped drinking, which you shouldn't be doing, you should get a designated driver. Now there's no excuses. You can take Uber.
Yep.
Right?
Talk about this the other
be
day.
Very, very careful and talk to your attorneys first, see if I'm right about this and see if you think this is correct. I would not give them any evidence against me. But what's going to happen in the state of Florida, if you refuse to blow on a breathalyzer, you're going to lose your license for a year.
Yep.
It's called an administrative revocation of your license. And if that happens, though, you're not charged with a DUI, and usually they give you a work permit to drive back and forth. Be very careful when you start giving evidence like, okay, you can take a blood test. Okay, you can do a breathalyzer. Okay, you can walk the line. You don't have to agree to do any of that
stuff.
You're
just building their case for them.
And they're going to videotape everything you're doing. It's just best to say, you know, without my attorney here, I'm sorry, I can't talk.
Or really just take the whole thing out of the equation and just Uber if you need to.
And just don't, well, how about this? How about we just don't drink because it increases the risk of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, there cirrhosis, liver, osteoporosis, breast cancer. And I've talked to so many people over the years, and they've lost their licenses, or when they get their licenses back, and their insurance goes from $300 a month to $1,000 a month, and then the car breaks down. Now they can't repair the car and pay the insurance. And now they have no car. And I've seen that over and over and over. People in their 20s and their 30s, no vehicle to drive because they lost their license or they lost their ability to drive to a DUI. That's fluid reasoning skills. Okay, I'm drunk as a skunk. I can't stand up and I can't walk. But by golly, I'm going to drive home.
Yeah.
Why don't you just not drive home? And here's the thing you got to be careful with, too. Don't crawl in the back seat of your car and go to sleep.
Yeah.
They'll arrest you for DUI with that. Yeah, you think? Yeah, just
that happens.
You're in the car. You're in the car. They can arrest you. Just don't do that. You know, sit on the park bench if you have to, but don't be crawling in the car. Well, that's not safe in the park bench. Well, it's not safe be drinking and driving either. But let's not do that.
Yeah.
Now, I want to cover this real quick. This is the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Now, there's been a lot of discrepancy as far as who wrote this and why they wrote it, but let me read you what part of it is. Number one, you banish God from the heavens and Christianity from earth. You know, they don't really like Christianity because Jesus is the creator of the universe. Yesterday, our pastor, our vicar, was preaching a sermon, and he said something that was very, very poignant. I've never heard it put this way. He said, when Jesus was on the cross and he died, the skies turned black and earthquakes started occurring. He says it was almost as if creation was being undone.
That's interesting.
Now, think about what he said. And I thought to myself, wow, he really said something there. And then God the Father, in my opinion, we cover this in Angel War, stepped in and stopped the destruction of the universe and the earth. Now think about that. It's almost as if creation was being undone. Well, they're trying to undo Christianity, banish God from the heavens and Christianity from the earth, allow no private ownership of property or business, Klaus Schwab, abolish marriage, family and home, encourage sexual promiscuity, homosexuality, adultery, and fornication. And what is happening is several books have been written over the years. And one of the books talked about, you know, sexual transmutation. Let's stop for 1 second. And what does that mean? The guy goes out and he wants to get married, wants to start a family, and he basically is focused on dating, and he's focused on finding a woman, finding a spouse, finding a person to spend the rest of his life with. And so he puts all of his energy into that. Okay. So then he basically gets married, and now he has kids, and now he has the ability to turn that energy that he was using for that into building a career for himself. In other words, I'm not having to run around and go on dates all the time. I've got a wife. I've got a spouse. I've got a significant other. Now I'm going to focus on my career and do something with my life. Okay. And so if you don't do that by the third generation, if everybody's focusing on sex and dating, the whole country comes apart because everybody's just worried about dating now, and they're not worried about basically going out and creating anything.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be alone. You can't blame them for that. But think about that. Abolish marriage, family, and home. Encourage sexual promiscuity, homosexuality, adultery, and fornication. Number four, completely destroy every thought of patriotism, national sovereignty, individualism, and private competitive enterprise system. In other words, it's got to all be owned by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. Everybody has to buy everything from Amazon. There's no competition with Amazon. Amazon is a monopoly, Austin. It needs to be broken up into 100 different
companies. They're a global retail monopoly. They're set up in place to be exactly what they are. That's why they got the giant government contracts. That's why they got this contract for the CIA servers.
This is why it says private competitive enterprise. Number five, establish a one world government through which the elite can rule the world. All other objectives are secondary to this one supreme purpose. They have to rule the world through one country and one group of people. Number six, take all prayer and Bible instruction out of all schools and introduce pornography, vulgarity, and courses in sex. If they can make one generation of any nation immoral, they can take that nation down. Number five, circulate vulgar pornographic literature and pictures and encourage unrestricted sale and use of alcoholic beverages and drugs to weaken and corrupt the youth. Number 10, foment, precipitate, and finance large-scale wars to emasculate and bankrupt the nations and destroy the alpha males. And thereby force them into a one-world government. Number 11, secretly infiltrate and control colleges, universities, labor unions, political parties, churches, patriotic organizations, and governments. These are direct quotes from their writings on this. Now, here's the problem with all of this stuff. This is what happened in World War One, before World War One. You know, in Germany. Germany had gone completely into a debauched phase. They were having open cabarets in Berlin in which they were having sex with animals. You think, oh, that's awful. Well, you have to tell you what they were doing. And when the Third Reich came in, they said, this is it. We're not doing this. They were implementing all of these things into our country and destroying us. We're not going to allow it. Then they said, we're going to burn books. They burnt the pornography. Always remember that. You know, when you've got a group of people, nationalism, that basically stand together for one purpose and one group of people that stand together for one reasoning before God, they can pretty much accomplish anything, Austin. But when you break them up into segments and you basically infiltrate the population with massive groups of immigrants that have no interest in being in that country, just all the free stuff they can
get. Exactly right.
Yesterday I went to Sam's. I tried to buy a pressure washer.
Okay.
They don't sell them anymore. Okay. So I was there, you know, getting some other stuff. And it was interesting. Nobody spoke English.
Really?
That I saw all the people that were coming into the store, they were all Hispanic and immigrants. Nobody, I didn't see any people there that spoke English that didn't work at Sam's. It was the craziest thing. And I've never seen that in Lakeland before. I've seen it in Miami and other big countries, cities down south. All that's moved up now to us.
It has.
Because all these subdivisions they've put in, that they've subsidized to the tunes of thousands of dollars a month, these people living in these homes, basically, they're going to Sam's now, and they're buying their stuff now, and you're sitting there going, wait a minute, this is crazy. What happened to our country? That's what this is talking about.
Yep.
You destroy patriotism and nationalism because you bring in groups of people that have neither patriotism nor nationalism, and all they want is free stuff. And I started asking myself a question. If all these people are getting thousands of dollars a month in subsidies, what happens when it stops? Who pays the house mortgage?
Yeah.
Who pays the car mortgage? Now cars are an all-time high for default.
I saw that.
House mortgages are crumbling everywhere. Because Doge was coming in and saying, we're giving away hundreds of billions of dollars a year to immigrants that basically don't do anything besides sit at home.
And it was fed through the channels. We looked at it with all the people that were 120 years old on the Social Security docket that were still getting Social Security checks. Mm-hmm. And they go, these people aren't alive. Oh, yeah. We don't know. Just bypass that one. You saw what's going on. There's an article.
And Doge reported that.
Mm-hmm. There's an article up on SNAP now talking about like over 500,000 individuals on SNAP are getting double payments. They're double dipping. They're filing multiple times for it now.
There was a black guy on one of the Netflix shows, Watchlight Netflix.
Yeah.
And don't pick on me because I said black. He could be a white guy. Who cares? Don't get caught up in that stuff. Just leave it be. And he was talking about how he had gone in and basically was making between about $20,000 a month on programs like that. And what he had done, he had used his Social Security, other people's Social Security numbers, and had applied for all of these different welfare checks in his name. And then he opened his bank accounts and deposited them all.
Yep.
And he said it was a lot of work. He said, and then he had to hire people to handle it because it was so much work. Because there were so many people sending him money, and he actually did a whole thing on it. Finally got arrested for it. But yeah. he was bringing in over $250,000 a year just doing and not working at all, Austin.
Well, and that's what I brought up when COVID was happening and the housing boom was happening down here in Florida, is they kept saying, we have a housing shortage in the United States. I said, how do we have a housing shortage in the United States? The United States' actual organic population growth is at a negative rate right now.
Well, we had 17 million unsold homes in 2008. Remember that?
Yeah.
They had to figure out how to get those homes filled up for BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and other developers of these states.
All government grant money that came in and all the other cash they were running through Doge now is circulated back in. But like you said, there's another valid point. You start cutting all this stuff off, you actually start contracting all this money that's going.
You contract the M1 money
supply. You contract money out of the economy because all those people go out into Sam's. They're at the restaurants. I mean, I was in Orlando all weekend.
Sam's was packed yesterday.
Yeah, no, I was in Orlando all weekend for an event, a big car event, and a big charity thing we had over there for this kids organization. And I was baffled on how packed and overcrowded Orlando has become to a point that it's untenable as far as the driving.
The roads are awful.
And they're doing construction, trying to expand it, but the growth is expanding much faster than the roadways can expand. And I thought to myself, and everywhere I went now, there's this one back road we went on. We were on like a little bit of a car rally, and this back road actually came back through the backside of Winter Haven. Backside. And we're on this back road, and suddenly we come over this hill, and on both sides, as far as you can see, it's cleared. All these bulldozers are out there, and they're putting in medium-density apartments now. I mean, if there's grass on the ground somewhere, they're putting in subdivisions now, in apartments in Florida.
And see, and you got to ask yourself a question. a lot of these subdivisions are still empty, and they're not selling the houses, and they haven't built homes yet. And yet they're continuing to
build more.
Where are they planning for all these people to come from,
Austin? Exactly.
Is that because the Democrats will be back in power in 3 years, and they're going to be bringing and opening the borders up again? Yeah. They would have all the houses ready for them? I don't know, Austin. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Because I talk to realtors, and realtors are like, golly, it's sales are slow, interest rates are high, we're having to drop prices on everything, trying to move it. Even some of these big, as far as contractors, they're selling out a bunch of unsold inventory. Mm-hmm. But yet, every time I go somewhere, literally every time I go, there's more subdivisions. Done. I'm like, where is everybody coming from? Because nobody's buying a lot of the houses, a lot of the realtors.
Well, remember Biden, you know, it wasn't Biden. It was the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan that runs the planet. They brought in, according to Trump, up to 20 million people came in under Biden.
That's where the housing shortage suddenly came in.
And that's why Sam's is packed out. And you put four or five of these people in one household.
Yeah.
Now they're bringing in serious money.
Oh, yeah.
And the crazy part to me is the majority of the money they bring in many cases, not every case, but many cases, is sent back to their respective countries they came from. To support other countries and other people and other worlds. You know, if they would take the money and just start paying off the house mortgage.
Yeah.
Imagine that. I'm getting $12,000 a month in subsidies. I paid $300,000
for the house. Pay the car off so they don't get repoed.
Just anything. But they send the money back to their respective countries. And the sad part about it is, isn't that all part of Cloward Piven? Let's destroy the infrastructure. Let's destroy the people through social welfare programs.
Let me cover this real quick, because I got a lot of questions on blood pressure over the last week. And I think a lot of it has to do with stress, with lifestyle, with a lot of stuff that people are dealing with in general.
Coffee too, bud.
Coffee. And this is going to tie into, it says, everyday habits that raise blood pressure and how to reverse them. Mm-hmm. Now, tying into that as well, it says beet juice reduces blood pressure in people over 60 due to its nitric oxide production. I've talked about this article for years, how the HGH stimulant that we have that increases nitric oxide, the beet juice powder that we get out of Germany increases nitric oxide production, and how important it is, especially as you get older, to maintain healthy levels of nitric oxide, which really helps out as far as vasodilation, increases blood flow, decreases high blood pressure, and so forth. You can tie that in with a lot of articles we have on the website if you want to search them at healthmasters.com. But this new article right here says seven everyday habits. And I thought they were pretty good. Most of them are pretty accurate that I looked on here. We already talked about it. It says one big thing is skipping sunlight. It says about most adults spend about 90% of their time outdoors. When you're outside, we cover up, seek shade, block very light, put sunscreen on. And it's in a study published by BMC Public Health involving 8,613 adults. Those who practice multiple sun protective habits had a 29% higher risk of hypertension at large. Swedish study, women who spent most of their time indoors had a 41% higher odds of developing high blood pressure. It says sunlight lowers blood pressure by releasing nitric oxide from stores in the skin. Lowering blood pressure reduces risk of stroke and heart attacks. Very important to look at on here. Next one that I talk about all the time, poor sleep. Here's a few things you can do here. Give me camera four. It says rhythm sunlight sets each morning easily to unravel the night. In a study of more than 12,000 adults, those whose bedtime varied were up 30% more likely to have high blood pressure. The body's clock craves consistency. Irregular sleep jolts cortisol levels, keeping blood pressure high long after the first morning of stimulants or coffee. It says what to do, go to bed and wake up at consistent times, even on the weekend. That's a big one. Sometimes it's harder than others. Dim lights an hour before sleep. Keep devices out of your room. This is why I say all the time, shut your Wi-Fi off at night. You don't need your Wi-Fi at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're sleeping. And when I built my house, I have a switch on my wall. And there's other ways you can do this too, but just how adamant I was. I designed my house around this, that I flip a switch by my bed at night that shuts off all internet connection in the entire house. I also use solar board, other types of metallic insulation in the roofs and in the walls to protect from a lot of it. That's why people get upset sometimes if my internet's not on and I try to make phone calls in my house. You drop calls. There's like no cell service in my house. No internet in my house. It's off. It's kind of annoying, but again, there's a reason why, because I want to make sure that I'm blocking that stuff out if I don't need it because of what it does to the pineal gland and how it constantly stimulates the body and it messes up the circadian rhythm. Another one it says here, get sunlight within an hour of waking. I've heard this a lot. Now, sometimes it's harder for individuals that work really early or have to get up really early. You got to watch as far as how your lifestyle is with that. So I know some guys go to the gym like 4 a.m. I used to do it all the time. Or you basically need to be on the construction site before the sun gets up. And so that can cause that, but overall getting sunlight with an hour waking is really good to help anchor the body's internal clock. Next one on here, too much sitting raises blood pressure. That's a big one. Stillness strains the cardiovascular system. In 2024 trial, healthy young men who sat for 3 hours experienced blood pooling in their legs and a rise in blood pressure. This is why I tell everybody, and this is something really to do, stand every half hour, stretch, squat, climb a few stairs, help restore blood flow and release nitric oxide. Also, another thing you can do too is a small round trampoline. If you work a lot, you're sitting a lot, you're on the phone a lot, you're on the computer a lot, whatever your job description may be, it's really important to throw the trampoline in there every day. You can get one off eBay. They're cheap. You can get one on the rail if you need to hold on to that, but sit there and bounce on the trampoline. You know, you're not trying to be a gymnast. You don't have to do, you know, go 4 feet up in the air, but what it does is it really helps out the circulation the way the one-way valves work in the body, especially down the legs and the calves. Even if you just do 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, 5 to 10 minutes at night, you'll notice a marked change in your body's blood pressure levels if you do that, especially if you throw in proper circulatory products like the HGH Stimulate, the vitamin E, beet juice powder, and so forth, because it gets your body nitric oxide, helps out circulation. And another one too is not drinking enough water. I can't say enough on this one. And I know we're all bad about this sometimes. Dehydration affects all of us, but movement keeps blood circulating. Water keeps it fluid. Your body's made up about 70% water. So if you're not drinking adequate water, your blood viscosity, the thickness of the blood gets too thick. It uses an example. It's like if you're trying to run a car, real high performance, you're using like a 0-20 weight synthetic oil, it runs great. Well, if you go in there and you throw 90 weight gear oil in the engine instead of 0-20 weight, your motor's going to start jamming up and gumming up immediately because the oil is too thick. It can't pump it properly. It can't lubricate properly. That's the same thing that happens when your blood gets too thick from lack of water. Circulation goes down from dehydration. Another one here is too little potassium and minerals. This is why magnesium and other supplements that we have with potassium are really important to make sure you're getting the proper amounts of minerals in your body. And the last one on here, it says frequent conflict and hostility. This is a big one for blood pressure. When you're constantly fighting all the time, arguing all the time, dealing with stuff with business, with work, with relationships, and it constantly doesn't stop and your sleep's messed up, it is going to raise your blood pressure dramatically.
It does, it causes the fight or flight syndrome.
Cortisol, baby.
And what happens, your body, is, let's say, okay, years ago, okay, let me give you a perfect example of me personally. Years ago, I got viciously attacked by a Doberman that had been trained to kill people. Awesome.
Yeah, I just told this story yesterday. It's funny. Some friends I knew in Orlando, yeah, I'm bragging on you. 2 shots, 2 hits.
and I shot the dog. He was running towards me about 35 miles an hour.
But let me clarify this. He was going to kill me and or dad if he got a hold of us.
Oh, yeah.
This dog was aggressive. I already put 2 people in the hospital.
Yeah. And so he's running towards me, and I had a 9mm full-size Glock.
Yep.
And it was too late. He was moving too quick, and there was no way I could run back inside the screen room. So I had a choice. I could either turn my back to him and have him hit me from the backside.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Or I could let him take one of my arms.
Yeah.
Okay, and hopefully get away from him before he got my neck.
Yeah.
So I dropped the pistol on him. I lowered the Glock on him, and I thought to myself, there's going to be hell to pay when I kill this dog, because the neighbor was kind of psycho. And I already warned him. I'd offered to build him a kennel 5 times to keep the dog inside because he kept getting out of the fence.
This was an attack dog. He was a trained Doberman, by the way. This was not a household, you know, little Pomeranian running around all cute. This was a Doberman that actively tried to eat people and kill them.
Hey, Wendell Gunner's son had to have 200 stitches put into him for this dog. Just to let you know that. So this was one of those dogs. And I asked the neighbor, will you please let me build you a kennel? Asked him 5 times. And he got all mad at me. And I said, okay, I'm not going to build a kennel now. I said, now if he comes to my yard again, I'm going to shoot him. He goes, are you threatening me? I said, no. I'm telling you what's going to happen if he comes to my yard again.
Fear my child's life or my life.
Yeah, also was 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and the dog had already come after my wife once, and my Malamute has saved her life. So let me put it into context. And so I remember about 3 weeks after I'd asked to build a kennel, you know, Oscar comes running in the house. He's 8 years old. And I was just getting out of bed. My painters were here, Billy Bamberg and about 5 other painters were here painting, and my office staff was just coming in. Oscar was running in the house, and he goes, Daddy, Toby's back in the yard again. And I looked at him, and I said, okay. And I grabbed the Glock, and I walked outside, and Sharon said to me, she goes, what are you going to do? I said, I've been waiting for this. I knew it was going to happen. And so I walked outside, didn't see him. He had already attacked my yard guy, by the way. getting context, he had already gotten into a fight with my other dog attacking my yard dye. He had rolled into the bushes and tore up a bunch of my azaleas. And then I discharged a round into the ground because I hadn't fired that gun probably in 6 months. I made sure the doggone rounds were hot because sometimes things get wet and humid here in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And the guns don't fire. So I shot into the round, and then all of a sudden, here he comes, full speed, running at me about 50 yards away. I mean, full speed, teeth hanging out, head down, full attack mode. And that's when I put the pistol on him. I said, well, it's going to be one of those deals. It's going to be hell to pay when I shoot this animal. But, oh, well, I've warned everybody. So I double-tapped him, hit him twice, shot him twice. Cop came over, you know, guy called the police, and he goes, how many times did you shoot? I said, twice. He said, how many times did you hit him? He says, twice. He looks at me and goes, you know, when we're 5 feet or less away from an assailant, we miss 3 out of 5 shots. And he says, how did you do that? I said, I'm trained in weapons. He said, we're trained in weapons, too. And what it is, it deals with how much are you shaking from the adrenaline.
That's exactly right.
That's what the bottom line is here. And I was just, you know, I guess I'm the Iceman when it comes to stuff like that. Same thing with piloting and training and flying and stuff. And so then the dog basically, I called 911. They sent animal control out, and the dog had been hit twice, and he attacked the animal control guy, chasing him around the house, you know, dragging his back hindquarters, and the guy couldn't get away. He said, that's the meanest dog I've ever seen. So what happened is that day, Billy came over. Billy Brown was working out with me, and it was about an hour later, Billy shows up, and I get into the gym. It's like an anti-gravity wave had hit me. Everything was light. I was unbelievably strong. Okay, that's the adrenaline. The adrenals were running like crazy, and I was like wired up. And I mean, I'd grab 250 pounds on the incline bench instead of doing it 2 or 3 reps. I'm doing like 10 reps with it. I'm like, this is before I messed my shoulder. It's been a long time ago. And I don't do the inclines at all anymore. And what happened is I ended up basically, and Billy said, God, you're so strong today. I said, yeah, just adrenaline. And because you always hear about people picking up a car off a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy stuff.
It's
crazy stuff because of the adrenaline. That's fight or flight. Your body goes into, am I going to fight or am I going to run? And if it decides to fight, it's going to pump all the adrenaline.
Yeah.
It's going to start pumping blood to the muscles. It's going to be doing everything it possibly can.
Blood pressure is going to go through the roof because it has to.
Because it's forcing all the blood through your system. All the blood around your stomach is going to stop digesting food. And it's going to go into your muscles and extremities. And you go into a full flight or flight syndrome. You have a lion looking at you or a Doberman looking at you. And now you're there. Well, here's the problem. I'm going to go drive on I-4, the I-4 death corridor.
Well,
I'm going to do it every day. Now you said you got lions at you. You got people that are going wild. Last night I was going over. I was over on the 417.
Yeah,
coming out of Celebration, right? And this fuel truck, basically a fuel truck full of gasoline, goes through this concrete toll booth at about 75 miles an hour.
Ooh!
And I thought he was joking. He hit it. He went through the booth. Concrete, both sides.
Yeah, I didn't know what I was talking about.
And I thought to myself, if he had a blowout, we're going to have a fire. We're going to have a major blowout because he's going to hit the thing. See, fight or flight happens every day on the interstate, especially the I-4 death corridor. Ross is driving on it one day, and some pickup truck hits the guardrail, flips up behind him.
Oh, yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, he saw it happen.
Help get him out of the truck.
You know, and all this stuff happens all the time when you're driving. It also happens at work. My boss is a nightmare. She's a Jezebel, or he's a nightmare. I can't believe I got to work with you. So you stay stressed out all the time in a fight-or-flight syndrome. Now, what happens is the blood pressure is through the roof, and your heart's having to pump all the time, and that's what we're talking about here with high blood
pressure.
Consistent
high blood pressure. And it's funny you bring up adrenaline, because talking about I-4, I just told this story the other day to somebody. I was on I-4 coming back into Auburndale, and there's a car in front of me. It was late, and I had Lana with me. We were coming back. I think we were at a truck event that I was doing marketing for, and this car in front of me swerving. It's like 12 o'clock in the morning, swerving. And I'm like, man, he's drunk. All said, he goes out in the grass, the median, hits the guardrail, goes straight up.
I've seen him do that, too.
This is another story besides the truck. It's a whole different story. Hits the guardrail. Girl goes through the windshield. She goes on the other side.
When did this happen?
This happened like 10 years ago.
Okay.
I forgot all about this. You just mentioned that. The car flips. She gets ejected. I'm literally first responder on the scene. There's nobody else there. The whole interstate stops. I pull the truck off. I park the truck sideways, flip the hazards on to make sure we get traffic stopped. Because, I mean, this guy, we got people in the middle of the road. I help get the door open with another guy. We get the one guy out of the front seat. He's completely out of it. The girl, we get her out of the road from eastbound, westbound, or yeah, eastbound lane. She's completely unconscious. I tell everybody to hold C-spine on her because I knew she broke her neck. She went through the windshield. The other guy on the back seat, we got him out, got him stabilized. He was okay. EMTs got there really quick, shut down the interstate, and I got the kid's phone. And I called up. I hadn't tried to unlock it. So one guy opened his phone up, and I called him up. I said, you know, I called his mom. I said, hey, I'm like, you don't know me. I said, my name's Austin. I said, I'm with your son right now. I said, he's got a really bad wreck. I said, he's going to be at Advent Health and Celebration. They're medevacing him out. They medevac two people out. They put the helicopter down in the middle of I-4 and shut the entire interstate down to medevac these guys out. And so we're trying to get them stabilized. I let EMT handle it when they got there because they had all their gear and everything. And then I told Lane, I said, we got to move because we were in front of the helicopter. And I was like, we got to move this out of the way. I said, because we're like blocking the helicopter dropping down. So we got the truck, got out of the way. I let EMT and everybody handle it from there, and we went home. And I remember I got home. I couldn't sleep all night.
I haven't too.
Yeah, you can't sleep. I'm sitting there. I'm like trying to take melatonin at 5 in the morning. I'm just fried, you know, from dealing with that and trying to make sure you don't get hit and trying to get people out of the road. But it's interesting. That's I-4 for you.
Well, no, right, and remember years ago, about 5 years ago, Sherrod and I were at the Millennium Mall, and they had an active shooter in the way.
Yeah.
They killed the guy in the parking lot. And I took position and point in front of the store. We were in the Victoria's Secret store, which I can't stand. And,
sometimes you got to park. If you're parked somewhere, it's best to get in a good defendable position. You're in an open mall like this. If an active shooter's out there, you have no cover.
So I took cover behind the counter there, and I waited at the front door. And then they killed the guy in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we were going to St. Louis for stem cell shots, actually.
Yeah.
Umbilical, non-aborted fetus stem cell shots. Make that clear. And we got to the hotel that night. I couldn't sleep.
No.
I mean, wide awake all night. I'm like, this is great.
The adrenaline dump again.
So when that happens to you on an ongoing basis, your body gets unbelievably adrenally fatigued, and you're basically you're going to stay sick all the time.
Yeah. Cortisol's to the roof, blood pressure's to the roof, and that's why I said these everyday habits right here. I'll post this on the site, and that's why I also said if you're sitting a lot, make sure you're doing the round trampoline once or twice a day. That's really good for circulation if you're sitting a lot on the phone.
Well, you know, I talked to Asa yesterday, one of my friends.
Yeah.
He told me to start doing, squat thrust, but something you have to get underneath the Smith machine and pick your hips up.
Okay.
He said to do those for your hip flexors. But I also do at least 5 minutes of round trampoline and 5 minutes of cardio every day as far as on the treadmill. But I try my best to keep my heart in good shape. Because, guys, you're kind of guaranteed to be here until the last heartbeat.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of over with. It's guaranteed for life, right? And so you got to be real careful with your heart and take care of it. And what they say on the cardio, Austin, and on working out with the weights, every minute you spend doing cardio, you get that minute back plus another two or three.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work out an hour a day, you're going to get two or three more hours every day of your life expectancy. Think about that for a second when you say, well, I don't want to work out today. It's a big deal.
Well, yeah, keeping the circulation, taking the right supplements. Here's another study just came out. Said fish oil nearly halves heart attack risk in kidney patients. The major clinical trial showed that treating 3 dialysis patients with fish oil prevented heart attack, stroke, and death. They said a simple daily fish oil supplement can prevent thousands of heart attacks and strokes among more than 516,000
people. Keeps the blood lubricated, keeps it thin.
Exactly what it does. It says findings are particularly significant given that dialysis patients face exceptionally high cardiovascular risk with mortality due to cardiovascular disease 20 times higher than the general population. They said basically 4 good, high-quality fish oil capsules every single day. They did this with either omega-3 fats or a placebo made of corn oil.
Okay, first of all, this was a bad test.
The corn oil, I saw that.
I know. It works with the fish oil, period. But they should have used water in a capsule instead of corn oil. Corn oil is an omega-6 oil that makes your blood congeal and makes it thicker.
Especially for dialysis patients.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad test. Somebody didn't know what they were doing.
I saw it on when I was reading it earlier on here. But what it did was it showed that fish oil users experienced 43% fewer serious cardiovascular
than the placebo group, because the placebo group was skewed to have something bad happen to them with the corn oil.
But the omega-3s are important.
this is accurate with the omega-3s.
Oh, yeah.
But the test is poor. Poorly done.
Or they should have done something a little bit different, like you said, like a water placebo capsule.
Yeah, that's all they needed.
That's it.
All they
needed. Yeah, it was corn oil.
Yeah, corn oil. Omega-6.
Well, I guess they didn't go to the full bottom. They didn't use soybean oil.
Well, it's the same thing. Yes. then that way they got a mastic on the way. That's great.
That's not it. But this, again, another reason why I tell everybody fish oil, omega-3 fats, really, really crucial for the heart.
Steak and Shake now. Big poster on the interstate yesterday said 100% beef tallow on our French fries. Have you tasted one yet?
I have not. I thought about going by there. I don't really eat fries at all, but I thought about going by there just to see how the quality. I went there. I used to work there. I used to run one of the most successful Steak and Shakes in Central Florida. We actually were booming all the time. Stayed packed out. Now it's gone downhill. I don't even go back there anymore, even to visit, just because last time I went there, they had kiosks. Didn't have servers anymore. They have servers. The kiosk. I'm like, I got to order my Steak and Shake on a kiosk. That was just, nah, it was too gay for me. I was like, I don't want to do that. I just didn't like it. I was like, this is embarrassing. It's not what I remember running Steak and Shake. I mean, I served it for a year and a half. I kept everything so efficient with them. They'd actually, the managers would put me as basically the head manager when they had to run the bank and they had to run trips. They said, you know how to do everything here. You can run the beef, you can run the fryers, you can run the shakes, you can run servers. Run it all, Austin. We'll be back in like 20 minutes. And I did. And it was always running perfect. And so, again, yeah, beef tallow, I don't know how I got sidetracked on that. But beef tallow fries probably taste pretty doggone good.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let's talk about Haiti. U.S. Marines hold the line against Haitian gangs in embassy shootout.
Yep. We got contractors down there right now, too.
You gotta love the Marines. American forces stationed at the U.S. Embassy in Port-au-Prince found themselves in the crosshairs last week when suspected gang members opened fire on them.
Bad move.
As they should. Returned fire during the evening of November 13th, according to a statement from Captain Stephen Geenan, Marine spokesman. No U.S. personnel were hurt in the exchange, which took place with the Marines. The body count is undisclosed as far as the amount of Haitians were killed.
Yeah. Overwhelming superior firepower.
You know, you get an M16 with a 100-round drum in it.
Oh, they're running 240s. They're running belt-fed 308s. They probably put the M2HBs, Medusas, on them down there, the 50 cals. The Marines love those 50 cals, by the way.
The body count of the Haitians was undisclosed. And so, but you don't really open fire in the Marine Corps base.
Bad move.
You know, at the embassy.
It never goes well. Because once they get fired upon, it's weapons free, baby. You just overwhelming firepower. Everybody has to die now.
Remember in Afghanistan, they would say, don't fire on a convoy.
Oh, well, a lot of the army transporters, you know, because they weren't heavy infantry. They were more just transport.
They actually put
some of the Marine insignia on their truck because nobody would fire on them. It's also the convoy of the Marines stops in the MRAPs and they go, oh, somebody shot at us. We are completely open and clear to fire now. And so
then chase them up to the mountains.
Oh, yeah, that's it. We've done. And then they're calling an airstrike.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. So, yeah, God, that was a bad move for Haiti. I don't know what they were thinking. Now.
By the way, record numbers of young women want to leave the United States.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not making this stuff up. This is Zero Hedge. I don't make up anything on the show. I don't make up anything.
Period.
This is, it says, for the second straight year, about one in five Americans said they'd like to leave the U.S. and move permanently to another country. The heightened desire to migrate is primarily driven by younger women. 40% of women aged 15 to 44 said they would move permanently abroad if they had the opportunity. That's 40%,
Austin. That's a lot,
dude. The current figure is four times higher than the 10% who shared this desire in 2014. And the percentage of younger women dating, wanting to move another country rose decisively in 2016 when President Obama became his second term. What's funny about this, you got to ask yourself a question. Why do they want to leave? And it says the growing trend looking to leave countries is not evident in other advanced economies. Why is it? Well, I'll say why it is. The women in this country, basically the young women, can't find anybody to date.
Yeah.
Too many soy boys. There's too many soy boys. There's too many gay boys. There's too many transgender boys. There's too many effeminate boys wearing princess bracelets. And the women don't know what to do because they're frustrated because they want to start a family and there's nobody to date. And it's sad because that's what cultural Marxism has done to the country, also with feminism.
That's exactly what it's done. Let me cover this real quick. This is a big deal. I cover this topic a lot.
This is going to be a good segue.
Bad segue, but interesting topic just came up. The CDC vaccine advisors are supposed to meet now next month to vote on the hepatitis B vaccine on the schedule now. This is a huge deal because there's absolutely no purpose this shot should even be on the schedule for anybody that's not Hep B positive. I had this discussion with some friends yesterday. We're in Orlando. I said the only reason this shot is ever supposed to be used is if the mother's Hep B positive. They're supposed to be voting on this now in December. It was supposed to be voted on last month, but now they said the agenda will include discussions on vaccine safety, childhood and adolescent immunization schedule, and Hep B vaccines. The meeting was slated to take place in October, but was postponed. They said the December meeting will take place about 6 weeks. They said the panel during the meeting will poise a vote on whether to postpone the first dose of the vaccine and ultimately table the matter and possibly push out. The first dose is recommended within 24 hours of birth for babies. This, it still boggles my mind. Never, ever allow your child to have a hepatitis B shot if nobody is Hep B positive. The second dose is viable at 1 to 2 months of age. And the third dose administered is 6 months old. Now listen to this. Almost every other country only recommends a hepatitis B shot if the mother tests positive for hepatitis B. Some do not recommend hepatitis B vaccine for children who mothers test negative at all, for good reason. So this is what RFK Jr. is doing on here. We're going to see where this goes. The problem is this is going to massively cut into the pharmaceutical industry's profits, because the hepatitis B shot is a cash cow, because it's a standard shot, standard procedure they give kids for absolutely zero safety purpose at all.
At birth.
Zero. There is not one single document that has ever shown the hepatitis B shot needs to be given to babies.
That's what Kennedy said to that senator. You know, where's the evidence? There's no evidence.
There's none. It was completely arbitrary schedule on it. Oh, put it on the shot. And what I found is that hepatitis B shot, if you look back at it back in the 80s, it was designed, the vaccine was designed to be for people that basically were Hep B positive. They're IV drug users. The problem is somebody's IV drug user, they're not really concerned about coming into the hospital to get hepatitis B shot. Mm-hmm. They probably know they got Hep B. And so they couldn't get the shot sold. They couldn't get it moved. So they said, we're just going to put it on the schedule at a newborn, and it causes massive inflammation in the brain of the baby that is just born. Stay away from the shot. We'll see what happens with this. I want to cover that as it just came out.
Oh, by the way, Max Blumenthal got it right. He says that Trump's perceived violent support for Israel is destroying MAGA in real time.
There's that.
He says, plus Netanyahu is planning to drag us in their war with Iran. The U.S. set to enter new Vietnam air in Venezuela, and domestic false flag attacks and more. Interesting. This is the Greystone editor-chief, Black Smoothall. He said that basically threats being made by Israeli spies, like Mark Levin, he's calling Mark Levin an Israeli spy, Josh Hammer an Israeli spy, against Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly and others, and Candace Owens, are adding fuel to the fire that Israel killed Charlie Kirk.
Well, you go. It's all my contract, what he said.
Yeah, I mean, we said that the next day. Yeah. We called out. We were the first show that called that out. And so you got to ask yourself a question. You know, if these people are saying this, you know, and enough people are saying it, does that mean that nobody cares anymore about being called an anti-Semite?
Well, is it really anti-Semitism, though, if you're asking a question about who's involved in the assassination of one of the most influential podcasters?
It is if you control the whole Holocaust narrative and everybody's a Nazi. Everybody's a Nazi. You know, just get Goebbels and dust him off again.
Again. You know, again.
I saw a thing with Patton yesterday. In fact, I posted it on the website about all the things that he was saying about how we had fought on the wrong side and we should have not fought. We should have fought with the fascists against the doggone communists.
That's what Patton said. He was pretty.
And he said that when he got out of the military, he's resigning his commission so he could talk. He's going to run for politics and tell the people the truth.
Yeah.
He said, we have destroyed the finest people in Europe with the Germans. That's what he said.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah. Because they were refined and they were cultured, and he said that we've destroyed them. Yeah, for no reason whatsoever, because we're supporting socialism and communism. He said, this is awful.
The bankers funded both sides of that war. Everybody's figuring that out now. It's speaking of bankers again now, the Trump administration is considering 50-year portable mortgages now for the top regulators in the banks. This is crazy. We're actively evaluating
permanent debt.
That's exactly right. 50-year portable mortgages. They said suggest that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were evaluating how to do usable portable mortgages for 50 years. Essentially, this will allow homeowners to transfer their existing mortgage to new residential property. A concept in theory would help borrowers avoid penalties and possibly save on interest.
That's complete crap.
This is designed to keep people owning their house. Remember, a 50-year mortgage only lowers your payment, depending on the note, $200 to $400 a month on average. That's it. Except your interest that you pay for it. I looked at an article, they're breaking it down on a 6% mortgage on a 50-year note. And essentially, if $500,000 house, you will pay at the end of the 50 years, you're going to pay something like $1.9 or $2.2 million for the house. It's almost going to 4X. What you actually pay for the house due to the interest. And the problem is, the first like 10 years you have the house, the principal goes down like $9,000. Everything's interest. So you're not owning a house. You're not putting any equity in a house. So this is another ploy, again, they want to do to keep people perpetually in debt and never owning any real estate. So remember, real estate, owning your own home, is one of the last ways the American, especially the middle class, can actually have some equity and actually have something in a portfolio with profitability. Because you get a house paid off, it continues to go up slightly and increase in value. You can maintain that. They don't want that anymore. The bankers want all the marbles because they love their free air. That's just where it's at with it.
Well, if you think about it, you go to college, you work your butt off, you get established, you buy a house at the age of 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're going to pay in that house until you're 80. You're not even going to make it to 80.
Well, I said, $500,000 house, you're going to pay $2.2 million for it.
It's slavery. It's basically indentured servitude again.
You own your house. You have a mortgage on it. It's your house. You're not renting. No, you're and not. That's what
my dad told me back in 84. He said, we were talking about mortgages. And he said, Ted, who owns all the houses in your neighborhood? He said, that's all the people who live there. He said, no, they own banks on them.
Well, and that's why DeSantis now, and there a bunch of politicians are coming after him now because he is adamant about getting rid of property taxes.
He needs to, though. Everybody's flush with cash now.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got to go to church yesterday. I got to pray for you guys. And you mean the world to me. I love you so much, and I thank you for supporting us with Health Masters. If you weren't here doing that
for exactly
us,
right.
We wouldn't be here for you. Thank you for praying for us, too. You guys are absolutely amazing. And always remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life, Austin. And always remember that. And Austin, I love you so much. We
appreciate you guys. Be sure to check out the bestsellers. Give me some reviews. Let me know what you want me to put on sale on there once it hits over 10 reviews. And grab the collagen if you want to. Last day product of the week on the site at Team Health Masters and healthmasters.com. You guys have a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
Amazon, the largest online retail monopoly, is to replace 600,000 workers with AI and robots.
There you go.
Told you so.